been caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Well, that is not the sheriff's music. It is now.
You know it's good when there's singing going on. In
oh, I know. When we're moving and grooving. But of course, but by that standard, your walk-up music ought to be Salt and Pepper. So, you know. Oh, here we go. Come on now.
We can't go on together with suspicious minds.
All right. Fair enough. Okay, so Sheriff Chip Simmons is here in the studio with me. He's also the... Everybody likes to be the DJ, everybody, which is fine. I kind of like that. So you're a big fan of Elvis, is that right?
I am.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
First concert I went to, my parents took me to see Elvis in Mobile.
Really?
Yeah, that tells how old I am, right?
A little bit more than 20.
More than 20. 20-ish, 20-plus.
Some news of the week. One thing is you have had a third, or you're still looking for a third suspect after you've had two arrests in the homicide of Andrew Sanders from, what, 2 months ago, a month ago, something like that?
Well, it happened on the 24th.
Oh, okay, so it was that recent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we did pick up the third one, so we've picked up all three of what we think are the killers. So...
What was the incident? Remind me, because sometimes we talk about all these and I do forget some of the particulars.
On the 24th, we got a call of suspicious activity, really, and it was witnesses said that one individual got into a car where it's at least two or three other individuals.
Oh,
there was
yeah.
a disturbance in the car.
Yeah.
They thought they heard a single gunshot. The next day, our deputies located the car, unfortunately, with the victim's body inside, and our investigators were able to determine who those three individuals were, and all three are being charged with felony murder.
And this is, do we now know, or did we know at the time, you know, retaliation, connected with crime, drug dealing?
Drug deal gone bad.
The
purpose for the meeting was to conduct a drug deal, and whatever happened inside the car was the gone bad part.
You used to work narcotics a long time ago in a former life.
That's true.
How common is that?
It's I wouldn't say it's over 50%, but there is a pretty high risk, I guess, when you're talking about how serious these things can be. I say it doesn't surprise us.
Okay.
Let me put it that way. And I will tell you that the homicides that we get reported, we talk a lot about it. About 2/3 of them are drug related and 1/3 are domestic violence related. Of those 2/3, the drug related ones, I call a drug ripoff gone bad.
Sure.
So that's think about that. Those are mostly violence associated with the drug deal itself.
And which is sometimes, you know, home invasions or breaking into the known drug house, trying to rob a drug dealer, that kind of thing. But that can be at their house, that can be in the car, that can be on the corner, that can be...
Yeah, people think it happens in a street corner, and certainly it does happen. In this case, it happened in a car.
Yeah.
But I think there are some, I know in the past that there have been some where, you know, you go to a place and you'll buy drugs and you look around and you'll realize this person's selling drugs and he's got money.
Yeah.
So we'll try to go and do what, like you said, a home invasion or just a burglary. Wait till they leave, and they break into the home and get the drugs. It's a dangerous endeavor.
I mean, if you're going to deal drugs and break the law, why not rob people and break the law? And you know, I mean, it's sort of like when you're in the mindset of it doesn't matter how I get the money.
Well, and the hope is they won't report it.
Yeah, right. Because they're not
drugs. I had $10,000 and a kilo of whatever, and someone stole it from me.
Are we winning?
I think that the efforts
is your agency winning?
I'm an optimist. I think that we are winning. I think if you look at the number of calls, the call volume that we get, if you look at what we're effectively able to do, and we can talk a little bit about a search warrant. But if you look at the number of search warrants that we're executing, what the effect that we're having on neighborhood, and not just the enforcement side but the engagement side, I think that winning is we're seeing some momentum regarding that, and I'm very positive about that outlook.
What would it take? And I'm assuming it's just more of what you've got. But okay, if you are winning in the war on drugs in Escambia County and violence and crime connected to drugs, what would it take to win more? What would it take to really, I mean, be decisively winning in a way that the community would say, "Oh my God, thank goodness they started this whatever program."
Well, I think that you know, historically we've looked at it through, let's get more people on there, let's give them more pressure, let's make more arrests. We have prioritized, you know, the drug dealers and the mid and upper level drug dealers. And I don't want to just pour money or manpower into a situation. Let's make use of technology. Let's do it wisely, so that if we have money available, let's put up another license plate reader, another camera, mm-hmm. so that people understand and it acts as a deterrent. Hey, I'm not going to meet someone for drugs right here. And also, if I'm selling drugs from my home, we got this thing called Crime Stoppers. We got this, you know, the sheriff's office is engaging. They're going to neighborhood associations. They're sharing the information. They got these signs that drug house is closed. I don't want to be that person. So let's change the way we do things. Or here's an idea. Let's stop selling the drugs. Let's stop with, the behavior that's going to put someone in jail or put someone, in the graveyard.
I know we're dwelling a little bit, but this to me is really interesting, because if you're going to solve a problem, you got to understand the problem. And again, you have a lot of experience working narcotics and obviously as police chief and as sheriff. Okay, so we make the price tag of drug dealing high. We make them scared. We deter away from drug dealing. What do they, the argument has always been that, well, they don't have good options. There aren't other ways to make money. They don't have training and education. That's always been an argument. And my question to you is, how much truth is there in that? And if you do make the price tag of dealing drugs really high, which you are working on, or make it even higher, what does happen? Because, one thing is they could reform and, take a job as a middle manager and some, whatever. Or, maybe they go somewhere else where it's easier to sell drugs. Mm-hmm. That pushes the problem elsewhere. It doesn't solve it, but it does push it away from here. In your assessment, what the people who are engaged in this criminal life, how do we get them to be productive? How hard is that?
Well, I you're talking about economics. The more people put in jail, the more drugs we seize, the price goes up. I think that what we're missing here is just a simple truth. They don't have to sell drugs. There are other options. No one's forcing you to sell drugs. No one's forcing you to ignore the laws. No one's forcing you to carry guns and to rip people off and to provide a drug that people die from. No one's forcing you to do that. This is a personal responsibility. And our job, I think, as law enforcement, is if you're going to take those risks and do this to our community, then you certainly will be put in jail whenever we catch you. We will catch you because we have a lot of resources, and we're partnering with our resources, matching that with the technology, so that we do have a plan moving forward. We're not just throwing more deputies out there just willy-nilly. We're putting the deputies where the deputies need to be, and we're preparing for the future. So again, I think it's I always kind of cringe when people say, well, what this person didn't have a chance in this, and this mm-hmm. person didn't have a chance in that. Anecdotally, you can talk to a number of people that have found their way out of those situations. Mm-hmm. And have been very successful. But again, it's a personal responsibility. You don't have to sell drugs. You choose to sell drugs. You choose to take that risk, and many times you go to jail for it.
Sheriff, the question of deterrence, sort of most normal people look at, like the conversation we're having, they're thinking about themselves, right? If I felt desperate, if I didn't have opportunity, would I resort to a life of crime? That's how human nature is. You project yourself into the situation. But I assume the reality, and I want to ask you this question, is how many people engage in crime because it's risky, because it's thrilling, because it's scary and dangerous and adventurous and they're, whatever is going on? Like, they actually want the thing that you're trying to discourage them from doing. They're not doing it out of some necessity or something like that. Does that question make sense?
Well, I mean, it does, but I don't know that it negates my theory.
It doesn't.
You're jeopardizing someone else's life in the situation that you're in. To include your own family, there have been cases where we've kicked a door in, and the son, let's say, is doing drugs, and the parents live there, and they either don't know or have missed the cues,
and then they
make it dangerous for their family, because sometimes we have drive by shootings, which again are not random, and then sometimes we have home invasions, as we talked about earlier.
Right.
So I think that, regardless of your desperation, there are plenty of people out there that'll give you the assistance you need, whether it is job counseling, whether it is the military, whether it is something. So you have to make these decisions on your own. And you can point to parenting, you could point to socioeconomics, you could point to a number of things, but ultimately we all make decisions. I wasn't always the sheriff. I wasn't always a police officer. There were times when when I was young and you had a decision to make regarding what you're going to do with your life, and you talked about deterrence. Is it deterrence? Is your deterrent a religious belief, or is your deterrent the fear of going to jail, or is it just not really the lifestyle that you want to live? Do you want more out of your life? And that's why we have the Blazer Academies, the male and the female Blazer Academy, so we can remind them, really. And many of these people have great parents, but some of them do not. So some of them have a situation where they need to hear some of the messaging, and maybe some of that will stick to them.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I am a huge fan of that program, by the way, for all those reasons exactly. Just on the subject, you had another drug house you closed down, a 46-year-old in Cantonment, right? Which is maybe some people think, Cantonment? There's drugs in Cantonment? There's drugs in Cantonment, yes.
Well, it's a nice home. I mean, if you looked at it, the house is in a relatively nice neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, I remember there's a picture on our Facebook page, and it kind of gives you an idea. First of all, a lot of marijuana. Not everyone, but some people will make a comment, oh, it's just marijuana. But if you look at this is not personal use marijuana. Some of it's packaged for distribution. But let's look a little deeper, and what you see there is you see cocaine as well. Mm-hmm. And I talk a lot about nowadays they have a mixture. They do this drug and that drug and that drug. But they have both look like powder cocaine and crack cocaine, which is rare these days. So, you know, you get a little bit of old school. Someone still knows how to cook the make crack cocaine. And then, again, you look a little deeper and you see what we've been talking about. You see two handguns in that photograph. So we put the sign out there more or less to let the neighbors know, because many times the neighbors will call us and let us know what's going on. Hey, thank you for the call. You were right. This is a drug house, and it's closed, even if it's temporary.
You have a memorial service coming up Thursday?
Yeah, for the better part of a year now, we have been working on upgrading our memorial to make it more of a focal point at this front of the sheriff's office. And again, it's two sides. The first side is the memorial side. And then there's what we call a plaza side, which is stadium seating, three or four levels of that. And then there's a star in the middle. And it allows us to better pay the respects to those who paid that ultimate sacrifice. And we will have our memorial on Thursday morning at 9:00 in the morning, right in front of the sheriff's office on Leonard Street. So if you're free and you want to pay respects and you want to see our beautiful new memorial, which is about 95% completed, we should be about 98%. We'll make a couple changes after the fact, but the weather should be nice. Swing by and take a look at this memorial. Take a look at the names that are on there. Mm-hmm. 15 deputies or law enforcement officers and 2 canines who have died in line of duty serving Escambia County since 1821.
And funded by the Escambia County Sheriff's Foundation.
Thank you. The Escambia County Sheriff's Foundation is funded this. There's no zero tax dollars. And then we move the original, move the latest memorial up to the Molino precinct. So we still have that one intact, and it's up in the north side, north end of the county, in case people want to pay their respects to a little closer to where they may live.
I read a story that surprised me, that the DEA, as of April 1st, eliminated body cameras. And that surprised me because I thought pretty much all law enforcement agencies were going toward body cameras because it exonerates your officers against false claims that get made about them a lot. And they, you know, in addition to serving generally, I mean, you were the innovator of body cameras at PPD. You brought them to Escambia County Sheriff's Office. And, you know, also it tends to calm people down because when they know they're going to be on camera, they behave better a lot of times.
Yeah, they can see it. I mean, we're not hiding the camera. It's right in the middle of the chest of the deputies. I really don't understand that. Everyone has their own philosophies, and I haven't read or talked to the individuals that are making that decision. I am a fan. As you said, there are a lot of times that you look at that and say, oh, no, the complaint that I'm getting doesn't match the body camera, doesn't match the attitude. And we're big on three things at the sheriff's office. We're big on courtesy, integrity, and professionalism, and you can see those clearly whenever you have a body camera on. We understand that the lighting and from a camera perspective is a little different than what you would see with your own eyesight.
Right.
And we take that into consideration. We understand the angles. We understand all of these things. Well, I also understand that when you fight, a camera falls off, or when it gets covered up with your arms. We understand all of that. But if you're running an agency, as I am, and you want to make sure that you're open and transparent, what better way than to have both body cameras and in-car cameras? We use it for training a lot.
Yeah.
And again, what we use it to give attaboys. I was watching one just a couple of days ago. One of our deputies was pursuing a car. The car crashed. The guy got out and ran. And our deputy, to his credit, ran. him down and just and put the cuffs on him and then walked him to Dettel, walk a couple more blocks. It just makes me proud to see every day the job that our sheriff's deputies are doing. And I want our community to know just how good we are.
Yeah, no, for all those reasons, I'm a fan. I'm a supporter, too. Last thing, it's a little bit in fun, but I think you'll appreciate this. You shocked me last week when you said that roughly 50% of your deputies, you guessed, had executed a pit maneuver.
Uh-huh.
That you thought maybe about half of them, because I was thinking it'd be more like 15, 10, maybe percent, something like that. And this is partially as a result of a change in policy, and we've talked about this a bunch. But it gave me an idea, which is, have you given any thought to a vinyl badge that you might be able to put on the side of the Tahoe that indicates how many pits that vehicle or that deputy has performed, the way they put it on fighters and bombers and tanks and things like this?
No. The answer is no. I haven't done that. We would rather people just stop. You know, we talk about personal responsibility. Why don't you just stop your car when you see the lights going? Or don't steal the car in the first place.
I just think with the new white paint scheme, it might be super visible. You know, might be kind of a fun little...
No, I haven't given much. I haven't given thought to that. You know, the canines used to do that for every apprehension they made.
Oh, all right, people, yeah.
And I've never
an
been
extra
a canine.
Toy.
But
okay.
Then people are like, oh, you're encouraging them to bite individuals.
Yeah. Hey, it's good plays. It's stickers on the helmet. You know, that's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't NASCAR. We don't need all the stickers on the cars.
Okay, well, you know, can't say I didn't ask. Sheriff Chip Simmons, this can be kind of Sheriff Chip Simmons. Great to have you. As always, we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you for all you do.
You bet. Y'all take